Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy. Greetings, and a hearty welcome to another UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach broadcast. We thank God who, through the power of His Spirit, has given us another opportunity to share with you through these broadcasts. And we're so delighted that you all have joined in and taken time out of your schedules today to join us for another powerful lesson. And as we always remind you, these lessons are specifically designed to reach out to UFCCM laity and to friends of the UFCCM and all of our listeners, basically to fulfill the goal of the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training, which is in keeping with what the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. To prepare us for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, first of all, thanking you, giving your name glory, giving your name honor and the praise. We thank you for allowing us to come together once again on our broadcast, Father. We thank you for technology, which has enabled us to reach far and wide and to communicate, even though we are not together in the body physically. But we thank you for that blessing. Father, we ask you to bless this broadcast today, bless our speaker, our presenter, and bless each listener. Help them to receive your word today and to have it embedded in their heart, so that spiritual growth and maturity will continue to take place in all of us. Bless the UFCCM, our prelate, all of our leaders, everyone from everywhere. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, keep in mind that, you know, our year is drawing to a close, and for this past year, we have been focusing on the theme of UFCCM laity, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works. And we've enjoyed the benefit of hearing from a variety of speakers, including some of our prelates and including some of our other bishops, as well as other UFCCM clergy leaders who have presented lessons and learning sessions around this theme. And we encourage you to continue to join with us on the second Saturday of each month at 12 noon. We're getting ready to go into our third year of broadcast, and we just want you to continue to make it a priority to let us come together during these broadcasts, where you will have the opportunity not only to be fed God's word in a powerful way with lessons that can be applicable to our everyday lives. But you will also have the opportunity to call in with your comments, your questions, your testimonies, or even the insights which God has given to you, which you may wish to share. Remember, if you're listening online on the USCCM homepage, if you want to call in, you will need to use your phone. The call-in number is 347-850-1405. Again, it's 347-850-1405. And we'll be so excited and pleased to hear from you, and we encourage your participation. I'd just like to say that last month we had a bit of technical difficulty in our October broadcast. Our speaker was Pastor Sagey Thompson of Atlanta, who brought a powerful lesson, the subject of which was Battered But Better. And there were so many precious gems of wisdom shared with us by Pastor Thompson. And, you know, he talked about the fact that we'll always go through something to get what God has for us. Amen. And so if you did not have an opportunity to listen to that broadcast, I want to remind you that all of our broadcasts are archived, and you need only go to the USCCM homepage, and there you will see a link for USCCM Anointed Internet Radio. And you may have access to all of these broadcasts, but I encourage you to take some time and go back and listen to the powerful word brought to us by Pastor Thompson. Well, today we are honored to have back as our speaker, and I will say by popular demand, our very own Bishop H.D. Haywood. And he wears so many hats in the UFCCM, and he blessed us with a powerful teaching during our September broadcast on the subject of scriptural context and definition. How do we love? Because love is a many-splendored thing. Amen. And many were truly blessed and enlightened, and we had so many requests for Bishop Haywood to continue this teaching that we were able to have him take some time from his otherwise busy schedule and his duties as our program director to come again and share with us more about this wonderful topic and that he presented. I know that it blessed me immensely and helped me to better understand Jesus's teaching on love. We had told you a little bit about Bishop Haywood. He's a member of the UFCCM Ecclesiastical Board of Bishops. He's the Assistant Dean of the UFCCM College of Bishops. He's the Presiding Bishop of the UFCCM Midwest Northern Wisconsin District Number 3. And the list goes on and on. Let's just say and know that he is a worker and a powerful man of God. And so, also, as you know, he plays a key role in the UFCCM Anointed Internet Radio Ministry, and he is the producer, as I mentioned, of this program. So, Bishop, I know you have more for us today, and we're more than excited to learn more about how we as Christians love. So I'm going to turn it over to you at this time.
Well, blessings to you, dear Teacher Tyndall. I'm so excited to be back again. And like I always say, I'm so excited that my excited is excited. You know, and I really mean that, you know, because inside of us there are so many things that are that bubble up. You know, we need to be excited about the right thing. You know, often and too many times we get excited about the wrong things or things that have nothing to do with us, and we have no opportunity to even, you know, obtain these things. So, but when it comes to the things of God, within us, we should be extremely overwhelmed with excitement. So thank you so much again. I really appreciate that introduction, and those that were able to listen to the prior broadcast with all of our wonderful bishops and speakers, yourself, that bring to the UFCCM a wealth of knowledge, tools that we can use and utilize in our own ministries and even our daily life. I'm blessed, you know, even though I'm in the control room running, you know, different things, you know, pulling up the music and the control panels and all that stuff, you know, but in between all of that, I'm fed, you know, I'm extremely blessed. So thank you again, Teacher Tindall, for having this particular forum that you have been so faithful over a year. You know, it's been, what, about a year and a half almost?
We're getting ready to go into our third year, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is, you know, this is the, I must say, this is the most long-standing, long-running broadcast on UFCCM Anointed Air Internet radio in the history. So nobody's going to be able to catch up with this program. I think that every program after this, you know, is going to have to make sure that they follow the pattern and the bar that's already been set.
Amen.
So we were talking about love is a many splendored thing, and I want to preference this, you know, a little bit before I get directly into the lesson. And as the, you know, as it is the trick of the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants to bind us. And I've found, you know, that love is one of those things that the enemy, actually, Teacher Tindall, the enemy uses love. You know, men who are seeking to exploit, you know, our sisters in the church, our daughters, and, you know, they tell them things, you know, like, I love you, and I've never loved you more than anybody else in the world, and, you know, all these type of things. And, you know, so that, you know, the enemy tricks up, you know, a lot of young ladies and men by the fact, you know, also, you know, manipulating them as well, which is a form of witchcraft, of course. We know that as Christians, any form of manipulation, you know, is of the stream, you know, of witchcraft and mind manipulation and so forth. And so we have to be very, very careful when you say, well, if you love me or if you loved me, because what happens is, and I'm going to get into the scripture and some, you know, and kind of recap a little bit from last week, but there's a few things I want to interject, you know, as well this week. And Teacher Tindall, it just feels like, you know, I may have to do a paper or something on this love thing, because, you know, it's too long, you know, to actually contain, you know, within, you know, our limitations of our time. And I often say that we don't want to make people glad twice, glad they tuned in and, you know, glad when we finally shut up.
Right.
So we don't want to do that either, because, you know, the tolerance of people, even though they like something, you can like food, you know, but, you know, too much of it ain't good for you. So you got to push the plate away and come back, you know, another time. So let's talk about love as, you know, and Teacher Tindy, do you mind if I just kind of have a little interaction with you a little bit?
Not at all.
I think you don't mind. Okay. What I'd like to do is, you know, traditionally when we talk about love, and I know that there's many folks that are listening that are probably not going to, they're going to be a little uneasy. You know, anything that's not uneasy, if we're comfortable, then you have to question whether it's God or not. Because many times when we're in our comfort level, anything that, you know, that we settle in on and we lay there and, you know, question whether that's what God wants. You know, I think that God oftentimes wants to rattle us a little bit, wants to stimulate our thought, our spirit, and not have us to be so comfortable that we lay in one place. So now I said that to say this. Some of the things that I'm going to say today is probably going to rattle you. It's going to make you uncomfortable, and it's going to mess with some of our theology because of things that we have been told for so many years and things that we think we know when we read the Bible. And, of course, you know, none of us, you know, have 100% accuracy on anything. So, you know, that doesn't mean that I cannot be redirected or at least enhanced even in what I'm presenting here today. But I think that at the very least, you know, we need to kind of take off our hats, you know, that we wear, that we don't that cover us and keeps anything from coming into our mind. I tell our church many times and oftentimes that, you know, that we've developed what's called a cranial crease. And as you listen to some of the things that are happening on the Laity broadcast and even what I'm giving to you now, in our minds there's something called a cranial crease. It retains information, and it also embeds it, almost like a computer. It writes a program into our mind so that we can recall it later. Some of these things that have been embedded in our mind that have gotten in our spirit is wrong information. And so we have to kind of rewrite the program. Is that okay?
Yes.
This is kind of where I'm going. All right. And, you know, when a baby is born, you know, if you look at the picture of a baby's brain, and someone may say, well, Bishop, get to the love thing. Why are you doing all of this? I'm trying to set a foundation so that we can move forward. Because if I don't set this foundation, then it's easy to reject what's going to come next. And so, you know, so I spend a little time trying to do that before I just get into what I'm talking about so that we can have some basis, some foundation, and some context. Now, when a baby is born, if, you know, anyone ever took a picture or looked at a baby's brain, it's smooth. You ever seen a baby's brain before, Teacher Tindall?
No, I have not.
Well, look at a picture of it. You know, Google is wonderful these days. You know, you can Google. If you look at a baby's brain, it's smooth. And the reason it's smooth, and it may have a couple little wrinkles here and there, but it's because it hasn't been here long enough to receive information. When you look at an older person's brain, you know, like mine or yours, it's wrinkled. It's just got all type of lines all over. You ever seen a picture of a brain and you've seen all these wrinkles and all these, you know, lines in them? That's because what's happening is over the period of your life from being a baby up until, this is why the Bible says when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now as I'm a man, I put away childish things. It's what it was talking about. It was talking about the spiritual and the natural occurrences, what happened to us in our development as a child to a man. We receive more information over a period of time, and then we learn things, and then we discard things. And so, therefore, it leaves imprints physically. Now, we often say many times, first natural is first spiritual. It's also spiritual and then natural. These things correlate each other, and as they correlate each other, we have to have an understanding, you know, that God has designed things in a particular way that it meets not only our natural understanding, but our spiritual understanding and then the deep mysteries that he's trying to get to us. If we don't look beyond that, as though I said, and I think I said this in the first segment of this teaching, that knowledge and even especially scripture is like an iceberg. I think you remember me saying that. An iceberg. When we see an iceberg, we don't really see an iceberg. That's not the iceberg. That is the tip. The iceberg is beneath the surface, and it goes sometimes 10 times to 20 times larger than what we see at the top. So in order to really understand what God is saying, we have to dig deep beneath that. Now, let me get back. I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but, you know, but just kind of stay with me. You know, if you don't mind, you know, I'm kind of like a hot rod. You jump in there, and then you're just going to have to ride with the top down and put your hat on, hold on, strap down, or whatever, because I'm just taking off, all right?
Okay.
So here's the thing. I want everybody to say this point, you know, put your hand on your head and your, you know, where your physical brain is, and then I want you to say, I will receive a cranial crease. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because that's what it's called. In your brain, when you are receiving information, it's just not information that you're receiving that you know something, but there's something that has been imparted, you know, into the inner part of you, you know, of your memories also and recall. And so a cranial crease, you know, itself is just saying when you, you know, your brain is receiving information. That's all it is. So we're going to get some cranial creases here today. Now, where am I? Where am I going with all of this? Where I'm going is that there are some things that I want to discuss about love. Teacher Tindall, when you think of love, and I don't want to put you directly on the spot, and I know we had the conversation before, and I know we also, you know, you were part of the, obviously, the broadcast, but when we talk about love, I'd like you to kind of to tell me the different loves that you already knew about.
Well, I knew about agape, eros, and philia. Those are the three types of love that I think are most frequently talked about or commonly known among the body of Christ.
Those are the ones that are most frequently known. Agape, that's, you know, philios and uteros. Those are the ones that most people know about. Now, I want to go to a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to talk about those, and I want to tear those out. Now, in the book, you know, now I'm not going here, but I just want to just share this with you because we don't have a lot of time, and I see that we have several people on the line, and there may be some questions, and I'd like to take those questions if we're able to do that. But I'm going to continue to kind of set, you know, this, preference. So what I'd like to do is, I want you to say a few things with me. Agape. Now, I know I can't hear you out there, but just work with me here. If you say agape, we all know agape. Now, the correct pronunciation in the Greek is agape. Agape. That's the correct pronunciation of agape. Now, I want to give the definitions of each one of those so we can understand what they are. And Teacher Tendo, you're a very astute English. You're a very astute English student.
And
grammar and all
of
that.
Subjects. Yes.
Okay. Well, then you may have to redirect me a little bit, but I think I'm going to be about 99.9%. And then the rest of it, you know, you might have to give me a little nudge to help me over the line. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, so a few things that I think is important first is let's look at agape. What is agape and what is agape not? I think that's the thing that we really need to have a look at. Most folks believe that agape is, I have been taught that it is the love that we need to give, you know, to everyone. I want you to understand that is not necessarily the case. The Bible says that God is love. And by the way, Teacher Tendo and listeners, if you go to the Laity page within the next 24 to 48 hours, there's going to be a list of all these terms. Do I have permission to put this on the Laity page, Teacher Tendo?
Absolutely.
Okay, so within the next 24 to 48 hours, if you go to ufccm.org, go to the Laity page, there's going to be a particular link in a section where we're going to list all of these things, and then also this program will be re-aired, you know, on that page as well. Now, the reason that I'm saying this is because I'm going to give out some information that I think I want you to check out. I want you to go look these things up for yourself, and I'm going to give you the tools to look it up to verify it. Because we say things without verification, and then we don't understand what they really mean, and then we say it as fact, and then we dig our heels, and then we have fights about something when usually we're either saying the same thing or we just, you know, we have misinformation. All right, so here's where I'm going with love. I want to tell you what love really is and what love really is not. First of all, we speak English. The Bible was not written in English. Now, this may be something, you know, this may be something that everyone already knows, but we don't want to assume that everybody knows this. That's a mistake. I don't want to do that. The original language of the Bible in the Old Testament was Hebrew, Aramaic, and Syriac. In the New Testament, even though there were different scriptures, as those that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, where he actually spoke in Arabic, as he was on the cross with it being going back and forth in Greek and then translated into English, Old Anglo-Saxon English in the New Testament, what actually happened is our language is limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's very limited. And Teacher Tendo almost caught me last time when I asked her, if I asked you to get a pitcher of water, what would you bring me? And, of course, her English, you know, with her words came out, you know, on me and, you know, almost got me. But I'm going to use a different word this time. So Teacher Tendo, you know, won't be able to get me this time.
Okay.
Teacher Tendo,
yes.
If I ask you what the word trip means, what would it mean to you?
Trip, T-R-I-P?
Yes.
it would mean to me a journey or a voyage that one embarks upon.
Okay. Anything else it means?
It would
Listeners,
mean,
pay
it
attention,
means
please.
Fall over something, mm-hmm. an object.
Right. Okay. What else could it mean?
Sometimes we use it kind of euphemistically to mean getting upset or maybe getting excited, like tripping out.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more.
Oh, let me see.
I'll just say it so we don't have to, because I'll just say it. You know, you're crazy. Man, you a trip.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that one. Okay, listeners, here's the thing, and I know I'm spending a whole lot of time, and you know, but it's important that I do this, because Teacher Tendo, people are so ready to reject if you don't, when you know, they fight you back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know our audience is here listening only because you know they enjoyed your the Laity program. Most likely, there's a few listeners that are back from last time, but what I want to say is, okay, so trip. That word, depending upon what sentence and what context and what structure you're using it in, has a different meaning, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why don't we apply that when we talk about love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we do. When I say I love my wife, you automatically know I don't mean, you know, I love my wife like I, you know, love my job or love my friend. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets a little bit hairier, like I said last time, we were talking about loving our enemies. And I think that helped deliver somebody when I spoke on that last time, that the Bible never told us. In fact, the Bible never told us to love, period. Now, I know I'm messing with somebody right now. Never told us to love, not one time. The English language told us to use the word love, and it didn't give us any correct instructions for the most part how to do it. And so what happens is it forces us to have an opinion of what it is when we don't really understand what it is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to the whole audience, okay, and I can hear them saying, yeah, maybe, okay. So let's look at we're going to go to what's called the love chapter. You remember what that one is? The love chapter?
Yes.
First
Corinthians?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Now, the reason that I'm going to pick that one first is because in First Corinthians, that's called the love chapter, what's interesting, you know, about that is, I don't want anybody to jump on me when I say this, because I know that, you know, there are many folks out here that have been quoting this, you know, quoting it forever and forever and forever. First Corinthians, I'm going to suggest something to you. The word charity does not mean to have unconditional love.
Hmm.
That's not what it means. I'm going to put up... here's what I'd like you to do. Write this down, everybody. Write this down. And I'm going to put it in. I said I was going to do it last time, but I didn't get an opportunity to do it because we did some website updates. So I'm just going to tell you over the air. I want you to go to a site that's called blueletterbible.org. Blueletterbible, just like it's spelled. Blue, B-L-U-E, letter, L-E-T-T. E-R, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, .org. The Internet is interesting, and it's extremely interesting because when we used to have to go to the library or buy these big, strong concordances that was as big, you know, as, you know, a stereo, you have one of those, right, Teacher Dendel?
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you can use that one, but the Internet, it makes it a lot easier for us. You can go on the Internet right now, you can pull up Blue Letter Bible, and then you'll be able to verify everything I'm saying. See, everything that I'm saying right now, you know, God has blessed us where I don't have to lug that big strong concordance and then do cross-referencing, then do Bible dictionaries, then do, you know, grammar structure and all those type of things to understand what the Bible tells us. That's what a Bible – let me move on. Okay. So write down blueletterbible.org, and what I'm reading from right now is not anything that I made up. You'll be able to go in and put the scriptures in there, click on those buttons, and it will give you the Greek-Hebrew translations of the words. And once you receive that, you'll be able to understand what they mean. And this is why I need you to do that, because, Teacher Tendall, nowhere mm-hmm. in the love chapter did it ever tell us to have unconditional love for anybody.
Mm.
All right, so I want everybody to say this. Say Greek 25. And Greek 26. Those are the numbers that you'll find associated to the word love. Anytime you see the number 25, now this is kind of more of a more technical teaching this time than it was an informational teaching last time. It's kind of help us to understand how to get to the answer as opposed to me giving you and telling you the information. Because, see, if we just keep telling people information and don't tell them how to find the information, you know, we're not really doing the best service that we can, Teacher Tendall.
Exactly. That's true.
And that's really what I'm after today. So when you look at the word, when the Bible says love your enemy, the Greek word is agapao. All right? So it's important that you understand that. That's extremely, extremely important. That you understand it's agapao. Everybody say that with me. Say agapao. All right, you got it. Very good. I want to clarify something real quick. When we look at the word charity, I got a little ahead of myself. Charity is number 26, which is, say this with me, agape.
Agape.
Now, many of us say agape, but it's agape. Say it again, agape. Now, Teacher Tendall, this is where I'm going to get into the English, and those of us that are still with me, you just kind of stay with me, okay?
Okay.
All right. When we look at understanding Scripture, when we look at agape, agapeo, and phileo, or Philadelphia, or Philadelphia, which is what the true words are. I'm going to take those three, and then we're going to take some questions in a minute. All right? Agape, if you look at agape, agape is a noun. So this is how we apply proper context, by knowing what's a noun, by knowing what's a verb. But then there's another one, phileo is a feminine noun, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. It's important. This is how we understand the differences. Now, the way that we will apply whether or not we are to love our enemy, like have a nice feeling about them, right? When we use the word love and everybody tells you to love your enemy, before this study, what were they really telling you? What do you think they really were telling you, Teacher Tendall?
I've always thought they were telling us to actually love your enemy by showing caring for them and just showing love to them no matter what they did to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be there for them and to reciprocate good feelings to them no matter what circumstances you encounter with them.
Okay. All right. And then we're supposed to be able to, you know, don't worry about what they've done to us, but we
right.
ought to have that affection for them the way God has that affection for the universe. So we ought to love them just like God loves us. Have that affection for them. Don't have these feelings that you don't want to be with and or near them. So here's what I'm going to say. Agape is a noun which is never used in the word, in the scripture where it talks about love your enemy. It is a verb, agapaho. That is Strong's number 25. There's a distinction between the two. They're very close. When you get your Greek concordance, someone will say, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, Bishop. trust me on this. When you go to the laity page, I'm going to spell it out for you, and then you're going to learn some tools and how to actually rightly divide the Word of God. You're going to understand this so very clearly.
Wonderful.
And that's where the problem is, Teacher Tindall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Agapaho is a verb. And what is a verb? A verb is an action. It's something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that correct?
Correct.
A noun is a person, place, or a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that important? It's important because when the Bible says, when it talks about God being love in certain scriptures, it's not talking about necessarily until he talks. It's not talking about something that you do. It's talking about something that he is.
Hmm.
That's the difference. And so what happens is when the Bible tells us, my time is just running real crazy here. I've got all this stuff in front of me, and I just don't have time to compact it. But when it says God is love, it's talking about a person. It's talking about something that he is, a person or a place. It's talking about something that he is and where he is. Now watch this. Oftentimes we say that God doesn't live in time, that he lives outside of time. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
That's not true.
I'm
going to tell you why it's not true. Because God doesn't live inside time or outside of time. Time lives inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything lives inside of God in terms of who he is as an essence. He created time only for our benefit. That's why he's not bound by it. So he's not outside of it. He's not inside of it. It's inside of him. Now, why is that important in this particular conversation? It's important in this particular conversation because when we look at what agape really is, it's nothing that we can ever do.
Hmm.
You know, are you following me, audience? Having agape or agape is nothing you can ever do. That's why he doesn't require us to do it to anybody.
Hmm.
And so what he requires is that we become inside of him where love actually is, then we'll understand all the attributes of agape, of agapeo, of phileo, of eteros, of storge, of ahav, which, you know, I can't talk about all of those today. Each one of these particular loves have a particular meaning. In the Old Testament, we don't talk about ahav. You'll find that in Hosea 3:1, where it says, he said, Lord, unto me, yet go love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to you, look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Now, what's interesting about that word ahav, it is also equal to the word agape and agapeo, as well as phileo in the Hebrew language. You have to go in there, and that when you look up that particular word, you'll find that in the Hebrew portion of the text. When you look up that particular word in the Hebrew, then it gives us an idea of how many faceted the word love really is. Now, let me get back to this. I don't want to go to the Hebrew just yet, but it was important that I threw that in for free. We're going to stay in the New Testament because that's what we're used to. Phileo and when it says let brotherly love continue, the reason that that's important when it tells us about brotherly love, what it's doing is it's giving us an idea, you know, that how we ought to interact with our brothers, which is, or other Christians, which is different than we interact with the world. That's where phileo comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher Tindall?
Yes.
I want us to read some scriptures now. Well,
okay.
You know what? Let's take a break because I think I've been talking too long. Is there anything you'd like to interject, Brad, before we go to break?
Not really, other than that this is such an interesting lesson, and I'm looking at the Blue Letter Bible right now and seeing these various references, and I do encourage our readers to follow your instructions on that.
All right, well, praise the Lord, and we'll be back. Teacher Tindall, I guess you can just take us out for a second. We'll be back. Well, blessings, Teacher Tindall. We're back, and I hope you enjoyed that little music break that we had just now. I'm going to ask if there's anyone that has any questions or comments directly related to this. And again, what I will do is I will be posting this online at the ufccm.org. Please write down ufccm.org. On the ufccm.org, you'll see a direct link to the Laity Outreach page. And once you go to that link, you'll be able to listen to the archive of this show and other shows related to the ministry outreach broadcast, and as well as you'll be able to have a list of the tools and what have you that we're discussing on today, the words and what have you, because I think it's going to be important. So, Teacher Tindall, I'm going to, with your permission, I'm going to go ahead and just pull a few people in if they have any questions or comments and what have you. All right?
That would be great.
All right, 1 second. Now, don't be alarmed, callers. I didn't take you into the screening room to ask you if you had a question or comment, so I'm going to just mention your area code and the first three numbers of your phone number. You'll know that'll be you, and that way we can go from there. All right? Caller, you're at area code 301, and the first exchange of your phone number is 758. Blessings and welcome to the Lady Outreach broadcast. And do you have a question and or comment? Caller, yes, I'm talking to you. Your area code is 301, and your phone number starts with 758. Do you have a question or comment?
Good morning,
okay, sounds
Mr.
like that.
Listen.
Oh,
good
yes,
morning,
blessings
Mr.
to you.
This is Elder Hunt. Carolyn Hunt, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing the best I can what I got, and I'm doing a lot better to hear your voice.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to hear yours as well. I just wanted to ask you or to tell you that I appreciate your distinction of the word agape, the fact that it is nothing that we can do. And I would like to ask you if you would just repeat that, because that is, as I understand it, that is the love that God has for us. And like to ask you to just repeat that a little bit, because I missed some of your comments on that.
Okay, so let me talk about agape, which is the correct pronunciation of agape. Agape is a feminine noun. And because it is a feminine noun in some places and then just a regular noun in other places, what it suggests is, in our English language, is that it is anything that's a noun is a person, a place, or a thing. It is not an action, like a verb. Am
right.
I correct, English majors?
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you look in the Blue Letter Bible, and of course we do have to allow things to for God to give us spiritual wisdom of the depthness of the mysteries of His Word, but we have to start with the basics before we can get there. Most people don't want to start with the basics. They want to go right to God told me and God showed me and this is the revelation, you know. And this is how we have all these schisms and all these misunderstandings, because we don't want to start with the basics. So the basics, agape, the word agape, is a noun in some forms, in a feminine noun in other forms, as it is in charity, if you will. Now, so what does it mean? It means the affection, extreme benevolence, goodwill, or love feast. Unmerited love of who God is and what He is. So when I say that it's not something that you can do because it's what God is, what that suggests is that that is something that when the Bible talks to us in other scriptures, it tells us that if God is in us, then we are in Him. There are words that translate the same word, agape. So it tells us that if we are in Him, then we have this in us. Once we have it in us, then we can basically we can issue it out correctly. So in other words, Elder Hunt, let's say you had a library, which I'm sure you do. In that library, you call it library. Is that correct?
Yes.
You would call it library. But inside that library, there are many different books and volumes that you would pull out and use according to what you need it for. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the same thing when we talk about agape or agape love, which many will say. It is who God is, and inside of Him, there are different volumes of what we call love that we have to pull out and apply to certain circumstances. That's why we pull, when we're in Him, we can pull that out, we can pull that volume out, and we can say, well, look, you are, you know, my wife, so there is an affectionate, sensual love that I have for you, because all of that is in there. Doesn't mean that I look at my enemy and then I pull that same volume out and give it to my enemy, although it might be packed inside that one library. Does that make any sense? It's who He is,
yes,
not
yes,
what
does.
We do. okay? Mm-hmm. And I may not be explaining that 100% the way that I should, but Teacher Tindall, are you kind of following where I'm trying to go with that? You want to help me
out
with that?
Yeah, I am. And I guess what I'm hearing is that love has many dimensions. And in order and we need to understand the many nuances and dimensions so that we as Christians can apply them appropriately.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. And I know, and I understood that, you know, Teacher Tindall, as well as our listening audience, as well as Elder Hunt, we're all mature, you know, Christians who have what God has given us, the knowledge and wisdom of His Word. And so I asked the question just so that we could be in symmetry of understanding to help our audience as well. Now, with that being said, because love is God as a person, as a place as well, because you have to understand when I said earlier, where God is, everything is inside of Him. Time is inside of Him. So because of that particular distinction, we have to understand that God does not require us to give all of that to anything or any individual. He has given us the ability to be able to distinguish which one of those goes to whom, what, and where.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I hope
I
that
like
answered your question.
It did. It was what I thought you had said, and I like your further clarification using the library example. I think that's a very good example of understanding that within the term love in any shape or form, there are many different versions, or versions may not be the right word, but many different interpretations that are applied to different situations. And that,
you know, and that's the thing, you know. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And that by having the love of God within us, the Holy Spirit will direct us as to which kind of love we should show in any given circumstance.
Wow, I really could not have explained that to better than that. There's no way I could have. And I think that's the thing. You know, we get beat over the head, you know, with this love. And I am going to do a paper on this, because even when the Bible says, you know, love your wives, husband, love your wife, even if I love the church, there's a distinction there. Now, it tells us that we ought to have the gentle love for our spouse, mm-hmm. For our wife. But it suggests that there's an action, agape, to that as well. This is why, you know, oftentimes women will say, and I'm not being, I hope I'm not being chauvinistic by saying women will say, I'm talking low, but so Pastor Bev doesn't hear me. But I'm not saying it in that sense, but, you know, oftentimes people say, well, if you love me, then show me. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the show me is the action, which is agapeo. And so agapeo, there are three different levels of agapeo. One of them is the action. When you'll look it up and you'll see for yourself, when it says things that we ought to do to show that we care, then there's another level that says that we have only a recognition and a moral or social sense, which is the context that is directed at our enemies. It doesn't mean that we have an affection for them. Doesn't mean that we have that we do anything special for them. But what it does say is, in a social and moral sense, we must understand that God created the life essence of every individual, and we must understand and respect that. That's all it meant. And so when we look that up in our Greek and Hebrew, we understand it a lot better. Okay, mm-hmm. I hope I didn't overdo that, because I talked about that last time.
Bishop Hayden,
Jenna, did you have any
comment.
Other question or comment?
Just one other comment. I want to thank you for leading us to this reference of the Blue Letter Bible. I'm at my computer and I actually looked it up as you were speaking, and this is certainly a reference I think that all of us can use and help us maximize our understanding of God's Word as we read it. So thank you for sharing
that.
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think once we do that, with all thine getting, get an understanding, I think we will not have so many misunderstandings, and I think that the enemy will not have opportunity, you know, to utilize, you know, the love, if you know, if you will, that's in us to exploit it, you know, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to exploit in everything that God has given us, and we have to identify that, point it out, and not allow it, you know, to happen. So, Elder Hunt, thank you so much. You know, you bless me with, you know, with your comment, as well as your question. So, thank you again.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm sorry. I was a little trick on the quick on the trigger there, Elder Hunt. As you were saying, you're very welcome. So I'm so sorry. Caller, you are at area code 803 with the extension 487. 803-487. Do you have a question and or comment? Teacher Tender, what I do is I wait just a few minutes because sometimes people don't really know that I'm talking to them unless I take
right.
them in. That happens when I go in the screening room too. They think they're still listening to the show. They don't know I'm actually
okay.
talking to them. So I'm just going to give them one more second here. Caller, you're at area code 803, and the first extension of your phone is 487. Do you have a question or comment? Well, it looks like that person just wants to listen and does not want to be on the air. So I'll go to the next one. Caller, you're at area code 920, which your extension is 344. Do you have a question or comment?
God bless.
God bless you.
And
yes, what's your name?
I do. Tequila.
God bless you, Tequila.
My comment, and I, Bishop Haywood, I would like to say that the way you explain love and the library is very informational. My comment, I would like to, or ask rather, now it has been said, like, you know, when other people, when people get angry or upset, or there's a strife among people, and it says in the Bible to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How would you explain that? Would that be as a, you know, agape kind of love, or?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to think about that for a second. Knowing, and the way, here's how I'm going to try to help you with that. Knowing that there are different loves. Let's use eros or storge. Let's use one of those or ahav. Ahav in Hebrew, which would be a sensual love, you know, towards your spouse. In one case, and Jose was talking about toward his wife. So let me ask you a question. If I said, you know, I want you to love, you know, your neighbor exactly the way you love your wife, I use the same word, but what does that mean?
That's an affectionate kind of love that you show your spouse.
Okay, so now stop right there. Okay, so that's an affectionate love that you would show your spouse. Are you required necessarily to show an affectionate love? Now, I want you to think about this just without even knowing whether it's agapeo, whether it's agapeo or agapeo or any of those other actual definitions of love. If you know, having this information, where would you apply love your neighbor? Would you apply it? What would you apply it?
I would apply it as, I would apply it as to treat them just with respect and kindness.
Stop. There you go, right there. That you, no, you said it. I didn't need to even give you the definition. So with respect and all that, that word is agapaho, Strong's number 26. So we don't necessarily have to know the Greek words. We don't necessarily have to know where it's found necessarily if we listen to the context and not be bullied into the word. Because you did it right there just by thinking it through. So that's okay. Extremely important. When the Bible tells us to prefer one another and let brotherly love continue, that word is phileo or Philadelphia. And what we most of us say Philadelphia, that means to have a special affection and closeness with those that are of the faith, which is totally separate from agapeho to our neighbor. Does that make sense? I can't finish this whole thing. Teacher Tindall, we're really out of time. Thank you so much, Sister Tequila. Thank you so much. But we're going to get back to the end of the show here. We actually are out of time. Teacher Tindall, thank you so much for allowing me to have this space again. I know that you have some things coming up in the next month. Those of you, I may have rambled a little bit today. Please forgive me. I promise you, if I'm ever allowed to come back on here, I'll be more together. Okay? God bless you, Teacher Tindall.
Thank you, Bishop Haywood, for such an exciting lesson that's generated so many questions and comments. And thank you, our listeners, for joining in. I'm going to talk really, really fast because we're running out of time. But I just want to let you know that our next broadcast will be on Saturday, December 9th. And this will be our last broadcast for the year of 2017, but it'll be a special call-in show. And the question that I want you to think about to be prepared to call in with next week is, how have you been prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater works as a result of the teaching and the lessons presented during this year on these broadcasts? This will be your opportunity to share what God has done for you through these powerful lessons, and we're looking forward to a rich discussion and to hearing from you. So thank you all for listening in. We pray God's blessings upon you, that you go in peace and safety, and the grace of God be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.